Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. You can turn in your Bible today to the book of Revelation, chapter 18, which is what I'm doing. We left off last time in verse 3. I'll probably go back and begin reading in verse number 1. So, Revelation, chapter 18 today. Scripture Verse by Verse website is a place where you can study the Bible all the way from Genesis through Revelation, not just once, but three complete series going through the Bible, every verse, verse by verse. Study using my audio Bible messages just like we're going to do today. And the good thing about that is that you can study at your pace, at your convenience. Again, that's at TheBibleVerseByVerse.com. Well, let's pray. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation 18. And after these things, after what things? Well, after the last seven bowl judgments that's going to turn this world into a basket case, just demolish it. The seven final judgments of God against this sinful world and against sinful, impenitent man. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted by his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great is fallen. Remember what Babylon is? That's a reference to this world's system, the mindset, the system of the unsaved world that excludes God from its entertainment, from its sports, from its daily life, from its family life, from religious life. Babylon is the world apart from God. It's the old Tower of Babel. Same thing. That's where it got its start. And it's just spread out and multiplied and morphed into different things throughout the history of the world. But it's always just Babylon, life apart from God. They were building that tower apart from God. They wanted to make a name for themselves apart from God. And God came down and destroyed that tower. He allowed Babylon to continue, that world system that is opposed to God and Jesus and the Word of God. He allowed it to continue. But he came down here, too, in the last days and wiped it out, just like he did the Tower of Babel. Same thing. Babylon the Great has fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her indulgences. And as I said last time, the party is over for sinners. The world system is destroyed. That world system made up of people all over the world who excluded God from their life has come crashing down. It was fun while it lasted. Lots of sin, lots of money, lots of wealth, lots of entertainment, all sinful, all tainted with sin, came crashing down. And the unsaved have nothing left now but certain judgment, as Jesus is about to return. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and be that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. God is saying, if you are my child in Christ, then don't live like the unsaved. That's the message. If you are my child, through faith in Jesus Christ, then don't live like the unsaved. Don't try to be involved in Babylon. Don't try to be cool in the eyes of Babylon. For starters, God deserves better behavior than that from the people that he has saved from hell. Secondly, it's not at all smart, because if we live like the world, we will suffer the consequences of sin just like the world. God is saying, don't compromise with sin. Don't try to be cool in the eyes of the world if you're a Christian. And certainly don't be so despicable and do it in a church service. 6. Reward her even as she has rewarded you. And unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived voluptuously, that much torment and sorrow give back to her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Things great. I'm prosperous. I'm living it up. I don't think about God. I don't have to think about God. God says, you should have thought about me. The pleasure the unsaved derive by their sin, according to God's word right here, we just read it, will be doubled. I should say it this way. The pleasure derived by the unsaved from their sin will be replaced by double the amount of punishment, double the amount of torment, double the amount of sorrow, which will never, ever end. That's the good news for them. The bad news is it's going to get worse than that. It's going to last forever. God is trying to tell people that the price of sin is too high to make it worth doing, so repent. And he's also, again, that's the message for the unsaved in the book of Revelation. So repent while you have a chance. The message for the saved is, why do you want to be like them? Don't be like them. There's nothing to envy. Just hang in there with Jesus. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Wealthy sinners can avoid some forms of trouble because they have money, but eventually their wealth and their power fails. And when that happens, their world comes crashing down very quickly, and they are left with nothing. Most who die today across this world never expected to die. Not today, anyway. The vast majority of people who will die today, and it's over 1 per second, never expected to die today. When they got up this morning, most of them didn't realize that they would be standing before their divine judge before this day is over. Something got to them. A heart attack, a stroke, an aneurysm, a car accident, cardiac arrest, anything and everything. You name it, anything can happen at any time. Some nut with a gun. What I'm saying is most people who got up this morning never expected to be standing before their divine judge before the sun set. And they're doing it. They're there. Most of the people who enter into eternal punishment today, now you think about that. You got up, you ate your breakfast, you had some coffee, it tasted good. You had your cereal, you had your whatever. Maybe you had time for lunch, you die. And you immediately enter into eternal, horrible, unrelenting punishment. beyond your imagination. Most of the people who enter into that eternal punishment today never dreamed that it would happen to them, let alone never dreamed that it would happen to them today. But there they are, and it's too late. And they scoffed at Jesus, and they were a part of the world system. And you idiots out there who call yourself modern evangelicals, who try to placate that world system and be like them, what's the matter with you? You're useless to Jesus Christ. You look like a bunch of buffoons trying to act cool in the eyes of the world. You're never going to get there. Just give it up. And if you do get there, you're not saved. And you're not doing anyone any good. Most of all, you're not doing Jesus any good. And you're going to end up in the same place as these people. Why? When Jesus warns time and time again in the book of Revelation that it's not the way to go. I don't know. I guess just having a great love for the world is just a very powerful desire of a lot of people. I don't understand it myself, but whatever. Verse 9, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived wantonly with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city. You know, the friends, so-called, of this world, of Babylon, this world system, never thought this day would come. The day of her destruction, they never thought it would come. They stand at a distance and they are horrified by what they see. Their lust for sin had dulled their spiritual senses. They had no spiritual sense. Their lust for sins dulled whatever spiritual sense they had. They thought that they would continue in sin forever, but it came crashing down right before their eyes. 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise anymore, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, all scented wood, all manner of vessels of ivory and most precious wood, and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon, and perfumes and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves, and the souls of men. The collapse of this world system means the world's economy collapses as well. And consequently, the unsaved are left with absolutely nothing, because that's what they live for. That's what they existed for, to buy the next toy, to do the next expensive vacation or whatever. But we learn from this that when a person lives for the things of this world rather than living for God, when they live for the next toy or the next football season or the next baseball season or the next party, and they exclude God from their life, they will eventually be left with nothing. I love football. I love baseball. I'm a huge Packer fan. I like the Twins. I like the Brewers. I like the Badgers football. I like it. But it's not more important to me than Jesus. It's not more important to me than the Bible. So when baseball season has been, well, so far it hasn't been played yet this year because of the virus. Yeah, I miss it. Sure I do. But it doesn't devastate me. I do have something to fall back on, you know. Something just slightly better. Like, infinitely better? Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and sharing the Word with you. But, you know, like the people involved in this world system, man, when the economy crashed because the world system came crashing down because of God's end time wrath, they had nothing left. Because that's what they live for. I pity you. I pity you people who call yourselves Christians, and yet you're so worldly there's not a lick of difference between you and the unsaved. And you're probably not saved if that's the case. I pity you. Try to... You watch the same lousy sitcoms and laugh at the same lousy jokes, filthy, vile jokes that the unsaved does. You go to the same movies, you laugh at the same filth that they laugh at. The same satanic garbage. I don't understand you, man. When I got saved, that stuff turned me off and I just bristled when I got anywhere near it. And I still do. Verse 14. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after have departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly have departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. All the things that people put before God will one day be gone forever. It's not a question of are you going to give up sin? It's not a question are you going to give up the things of this world that you enjoy? It's not a question of that. It's just a question of when. You might as well repent of the sin and get salvation through Jesus Christ while you have time, because you're going to give it up anyway. God's going to take it away from you. He's going to pry it out of your hands. And so all the things that they did as a replacement for God in their hearts, gone forever, never again. I remember when my sister, I don't know how long ago that was, maybe 8 years ago now, got cancer, which had eventually killed her. I'll never forget talking to her on the phone. She says, things just are not the same, and I guess they never will be. She was right. They never will be. And it never will be for the world. All their idols are going to disappear. Those who reject Christ as Lord and Savior in favor of something else will outlive that something else. They will someday exist without it. They will outlive and outlast their idol and they will burn in hell because their dead God, their lifeless God, that idol that they put before Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ, can't save them because He's dead. He's not real. The real God won't save them, and their dead God can't save them. So they're left in the fires of torment in hell. 15. The merchants of these things who were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed with fine linen and purple and scarlet and bedecked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches have come to naught. The impenitent sinners of this world don't get it. They don't understand. It doesn't sink in. They mourn over the loss of the economy, but they do not mourn over their sin. They don't care about what their sin has done to God. They only care about themselves. Instead of being sorry for their sin, they feel sorry for themselves. They have nothing left, and all they can do is feel sorry for themselves. Their whole world came crashing down because it was built upon sand, not a solid foundation of Jesus Christ. So their whole world came crashing down. Everything that they loved in life came crashing down and is no more. And instead of realizing that they were fools and that they should have repented and received Christ, and they still could in this final hour, instead they feel sorry for themselves. They have nothing left. and they still refuse to repent and receive Christ. I sure don't feel sorry for people like this. Last part of verse 17, and every shipmaster and all the economy, or all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. And they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein all that had ships in the sea were made rich by reason of her extravagances. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Again, all the people mourn, not over their sin, but over their loss. Materialism. Materialism was their God. Entertainment was their God. Exotic food was their God. You name it. Anything and everything apart from God was their God. And they're crying because they lost it all. But all their crying won't change a thing. You know, they could have avoided all this sadness if they had repented and received Christ. But now it's too late. Now it is. 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. All Christians from every age who had patiently endured mistreatment because of their faithfulness to Jesus Christ and the Word of God are now told to rejoice. Again, I remind you, the reason for the book of Revelation is not to tickle you with all sorts of sensational interpretations that mean absolutely nothing, will be replaced in 10 or 15 years by the next batch. It's not the reason for this book. You see the reason again right here. All Christians from every age who had patiently been mistreated because of their faith in Jesus Christ and adherence to the Word of God. Every preacher who stood firm on the Word of God and wouldn't back down in order to get a bigger crowd or a bigger offering is told to rejoice. All the faithful to Jesus Christ are told to rejoice. God had always said His people would be winners, and those who oppose Christ and the Word of God would be losers. And that is what we see here in this chapter. My friends, that is the reason for the book of Revelation, to encourage you to persevere. Do you see that? All the righteous from every age, and I bet it includes you. You tell me. All the righteous from every age who ever asked, why do the wicked prosper, have their answer. They do not prosper. Christ-rejecting sinners do not have it good. Their world will come crashing down, and along with it, everything that they had ever enjoyed. And you're still going to have Jesus, and you're still going to be clinging to the Word of God, and you're about to get your resurrected body, and you're about to live on a brand new earth, and you are about to have yourself a good time forever. How about that? 21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. A millstone was about 18 inches wide and about 1 inch thick and weighed about 1,000 pounds. In this vision, an angel throws a millstone into the sea. God says that sinking stone illustrates how this sinful world and everyone who refuses to repent will sink into hell, never to return. You throw a millstone into the sea? Well, I'd like to see that. I still like throwing rocks in water. I'd like to see that. I hope I'm around to see that angel throw that 1,000-pound millstone in the sea. Can you imagine the splash, you guys? I know women don't care anything about that. But can't you see that? Wouldn't that be cool to watch? And then God gives you the meaning of it. The thing's sinking, it's never coming back. Just like the people of this world who put anything and everything before Jesus. And all the worldly garbage that they put before Jesus plus them are sinking into the flames of hell and are never coming back. Never getting out. Sin, unforgiven sin, is like a spiritual millstone around a person's neck. It pulls them deep into the flames of hell where they will be tormented forever and ever. 22. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. For Christians, it's going to be as if the wicked never were. Out of sight, out of mind. You know what the Bible says? Hey, those of you who think that you're going to hell and that your godly mom and dad are going to mourn for you, or your godly wife is going to be sorry when you're in hell, if any of you are foolish enough to think that, or God is going to mourn for you when you're in hell, you think way too highly of yourself. The Bible says that the memory of the wicked will rot. Nobody's going to give a rip about you. Nobody's going to even give you a thought. People are going to forget that you ever existed, but you won't forget that you're existing, because you'll be experiencing every ounce of pain that the flames of hell can dish out, and you're never going to see a let up. You're the only one who will suffer because you're in hell. And so for the Christians, it'll be as if the wicked never even existed. The memory of them will fade away into nothing. Christians will one day forget that the ungodly ever even were. We're not going to remember them. We're not going to feel bad for them. We're not going to miss them. I don't care how much they may have been loved by us in this world, you're not going to give them a second thought. You're not going to miss them. The wicked, however, will never forget their wickedness, and they will certainly know that they exist. They will be very much aware of the pain that they are experiencing in hell, and that pain that will never, ever end. 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. The world gladly accepts anyone and anything that doesn't make them feel uneasy about their sins. Isn't that true? Of course, the Word of God and godly Christians do make them feel uneasy about their sin. And that's why since the beginning of the church, the world has either tried to silence or destroy Christianity and godly preachers who preach the truth. The Bible and godly Christians have been trying to squash them from the beginning of the church age. The Word of God, holiness, and true Christianity will never, ever, ever be cool in the eyes of the world, which is why the hipster evangelicals who try so desperately to be cool look like idiots and are an embarrassment to Jesus Christ, and they will have their place in this lake of fire as well. I'm out of time. Continue studying with me at thebibleversebyverse.com. Please remember that I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination. Are you surprised? I've never been underwritten by a large church or denomination. I just teach the Word of God, like I've been doing here today for over 30 years, the exact same way, verse by verse. I give it as straight and as clearly and as uncompromisingly as I can, and I depend on God's holy remnant who truly love His Word to be a part of this ministry. If you want to be, you can be. Click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. And please pray for me and pray for the Word. Until next time, so long.